Anne Strainchamps is in the studio with me, and she has a remarkable story. It's about a woman who says she grew up without any human contact. Her only companions were monkeys. And what's the story?
Well, Jim, you know, throughout history, we've heard these stories about kids who've been abandoned in the wilderness and somehow survived growing up as feral children. And then years later, they're discovered and brought back into human society. And some of these have later turned out to be hoaxes or urban legends, but they've been around a long time. And another one of these has just surfaced.
And it's in South America?
Right, in Colombia. So it's the story of a woman named Marina Chapman, who's a grandmother, lives in England. And she recently came forward with a story that is kind of verges on the unbelievable. But she says that when she was a very little girl living in Colombia, she was kidnapped and abandoned in the jungle where she lived for years with no companions other than a group of monkeys. Later, she was found by hunters. She lived in a series of miserable circumstances, was finally rescued and moved to England. And she's now come forward with her story in a memoir called The Girl with No Name. And I had a chance to sit down with her and with her daughter, Vanessa James. Marina, you have this extraordinary story. What's your very first memory of living on your own in the jungle?
Very bad. I was very, very upset, crying, hoping those two men come back for me. Even they were bad. I just want somebody to not to leave me alone in there because it became really not very nice.
Now, as far as you can tell, you were about five at the time?
I was waiting for, I think, a fifth birthday for some reason. Maybe perhaps I was going to be five.
Huh. So these kidnappers came and there were a bunch of other children in the truck, but then they took you out and ran into the jungle with you and then just abandoned you?
They left me there and they ran away.
What did you do?
I would just cry. I only remember being crying and I just couldn't think anything else but hoping that somebody would come and collect me and wait and wait, and it never happened. And you stay hungry for a long time.
Did you try to find your way out of the jungle?
The problem with that is so big. Everything is so big, and you no idea which way to go. You try, but then you can't find the way out sometimes. I did find a pond of water, and that was really nice for me to find that water. And whenever I feel thirsty, I used to drink it.
One of the really extraordinary things about your story is that you wound up connecting with a tribe of wild monkeys and living with them or surrounded by them for a long time.
I didn't know there were monkeys there.
So how did you encounter the monkeys?
I didn't. They found me.
What did they look like?
They were all similar. They were so very pale brown. And you can tell some of them were bigger than the others or more in charge. There was a particular one. It looked like it was in charge, came towards me. And then as he gets closer to me, then he started to look at my face. And then he started to poke it with a finger. And he just trying to see what sort of things I do to them. Awesome. I didn't do anything. I was very upset and just tied my body. And I just, you know, trying to move backwards, but
you must have been terrified.
Easier. I was. But then you have mixed feelings. It could be terrified, but it could be fun because when you see somebody around you, it feels like you're not lonely. But then you don't know what to do with these things, with these animals. You know what you're supposed to do.
Vanessa, you had a lot to do with your mother publishing this story. Did you grow up knowing she had had this experience?
Yeah, we just heard stories growing up. If we were cooking together, one of the ingredients would remind her of something in the jungle or just day-to-day life. For Mum, growing up, it wasn't ever a very clear story for Mum because her whole story has been quite muddled in her mind. It's been little bits of memories here and there, but not enough really to form a full story.
So it wasn't like, oh, let me tell you about the time that, you know, Monkey and I did this or that.
Yeah, no, it never has been. But also Mum's never thought it was anything different or special to be able to sit us down and say, this is what happened to me, here's a story. You know, we didn't ask questions because it was just normal. It just fell out.
But there must have been a point, that is strange. I mean, there must have been a point at which it hit you, wow, this is really unusual. Yeah. Most people's mothers don't have stories like this.
When we had a few more school friends and we saw how their mums were and how they, you know, they would sit still and maybe watch TV, where it's like my mum would find things to do and invent things, catch a bird, or we'd go climb a tree, or that was normal for me.
Catch a bird?
But yeah, she's caught birds before.
In her bare hands?
Yeah. That's how we had our first pet, called Mopsy. She was a flea bag, but my mum got that with her bare hands. She didn't like pet shops.
Wait, what was this? She just went out in the countryside and caught you a bunny?
Yeah.
Yes, that's... it's easy.
It is? How do you do it?
Well, I just catch it now and I don't think anything about it.
Fast reflexes.
You're used to it.
But I think I only realised the story and, you know, really hit me with writing this book because, as I say, mum's memories have always been a bit disjointed. Mm. But when I was able to link them together and figure out the time zones and which memory belonged to what time zone, we got to see how it really did match up and it was a chronological whole story. And that's when we all the family kind of went, wow, this makes sense. This is how it's all the memories tied together. So for us, that was probably a really great time. And that was the whole reason for the book, to keep it in the family originally.
So once you began to put it together, I mean, chronologically, as best as you can make out, how does it go? What did happen to your mother?
I could give you a nutshell.
Sure.
The way we figured it out is mum remembers being kidnapped when she was about to be 5. She got taken to the jungle and we've worked out that she lived there about 5 years, although...
We're not sure.
And she got hunted out by some monkey hunters who mum had revealed herself to because she saw the woman's face and felt she was compassionate. And then she got sold to a brothel house by these hunters, which was a shame. But because mum was so feral, she couldn't be used as one of the working girls, and so she was put to work as a slave or a maid, and she wasn't able to figure things out like cleaning or twisting things or cutlery or beds, so she got abused and shouted at a lot. She eventually ran to the streets and became a street kid there for what we've worked out is about 2 or 3 years. She then moved into a house with a family who she said she would be a maid for if she could live under their roof. And again, finding it hard to just adapt to a lot of things, they would shout at her a lot and that was quite abusive. And the next door neighbours would hear her shouting and eventually were the ones that rescued her and pulled her out of that house. They flew her over to the capital city in Bogota where their daughter was, and that's where she got adopted and things got better from there.
Fantastic, yeah.
But that's taken a long time for us to see that chronologically.
Mm. Marina, how did you wind up, I mean, fast forward, how did you wind up living in Yorkshire, England, and married and raising a family?
People were so caring and so nice. They were trying to train me in a way to walk. One of them was the wife of the school inspector. And she just was perfect person. And she taught me how to be hygienic and things like that in my life.
She often got criticised as a mum with people saying, oh, you shouldn't be climbing trees around your kids. They're going to picked on. And so it was a shame that people said that, because to us, mum was the best mum you could imagine. And her only example was obviously the monkey family. So they must be good examples. They're good parents.
Well, you said climbing trees. I would guess if you've lived with monkeys, you mean something more than just climbing up to one or two of the first branches.
Mum gets as high as possible, but we couldn't get as high as mum. She gets up to the tree where it starts getting really wispy and starts bending over. That's the point where we start shouting, "Mum, get down." But she starts shaking the branches.
Do you remember learning that from the monkeys or copying them in the rainforest? Do you remember learning how to climb?
I think I was remember when they used to go and get the food. I managed to climb a tree and I discovered where they're getting the food from. That was fantastic, and I learned how to steal from myself. And there, they don't help you. You just have to do it yourself. And if you don't eat it quickly, they take it away from you.
You would have to compete with them for food?
No,
would they come snatch it out of your hands?
They do. I suppose it was very useful when I went to the street, because I was very speedy, faster than most of the street children, really. They couldn't climb trees and they couldn't escape like me. I managed to get away from the police many times.
You know, there's so much in the jungle that is poisonous. You could so easily have eaten. I mean, didn't you ever get sick?
Yeah, I did. I ate the wrong stuff. The monkeys never ate that. And I just by mistake, I thought it looks like a tamarindo, but it wasn't. And I was really sick. I never felt so sick in my life. I was just shaking and this monkey keep watching me in the corner, staring at me. And it's funny how that monkey made me drink water, very brutal way he did it.
Wait, the monkey made you drink water?
Well, I thought he was going to kill me, really. I something like that. I wasn't sure, but I thought he hated me. And he made me drink all this water, and I vomited. And then after the vomit, and I realized I felt quite good.
He had shoved Mum towards this water pool quite forcefully, and Mum was feeling quite ill, so she went with it. And he was just really pushing her head under the water as if to say, drink this, and she thought he was trying to drown her. Mm. But he was just trying to push her head down towards the water to drink. And you say that he had a moment where you looked in his eyes and you knew that he wasn't out there to attack you.
He wasn't angry, no.
No, he was trying to help.
He was serene, and there's something I felt quite good when I look at his face. I thought, oh, he's not angry.
And if you were there for as long as you think you were there,
I hope so.
Did you lose human language, do you think?
I wonder sometimes what language I spoke, because when I came out of there, I didn't know what to say. I was just making noises. But apart from that, I didn't manage to understand what they were talking about. And that was really, really tough.
So you sort of had to relearn human language.
I have to in the city, and I learn with the children. You always learn faster with the children because they treat better what the humans beat you if you don't remember, you know.
You know, I would imagine that someone with the kind of experiences you've had would have a hard time trusting other people as an adult. Has that been an issue?
It's been very difficult to trust people, believe me. It's not been easier. But for some reason, I met Maruja, the neighbor, and it was something about her and her son was very different people.
This is the family that took you in eventually?
The neighbor that rescued her.
It's an incredible woman.
What's interesting about looking at Mum is that she was so aware of how far a little bit of love went with that neighbour, Maruja. And, you know, after having 15 years of so much abuse from humans, seeing how powerful a little bit of love was, every time Mum now sees a kid on the street that's struggling or is a bit of a pest, and most people would just say, ah, how annoying they are. Mum would say, all they need is a bit of love, and she'll go up and she'll talk to them and he'll just make sure that they've got what they need, love, because she knows how far that goes. So it's almost turned backwards in an incredible way.
Vanessa James and her mother, Marina Chapman, talking with Anne Strangechamps about Marina's memoir, The Girl with No Name. She was in her 20s when Marina moved with her Colombian family to England. There, she married the local church organist and she raised a family.